Legends 92.9 now brings you
Lyrics and Legends
with your host, Gary Ware.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM. This is a weekly program where we visit with local musicians and singer-songwriters. And today, we got one of my favorite people in the whole world with me in the studio, Joe Jernigan. Brother Joe, we are looking forward to visiting with you this week on Lyrics and Legends. And we're going to just find out a little bit more about Joe Jernigan, some of the music that you've recorded over the years. And looking forward to it. Got anything to say?
Well, thank you for inviting me in to do this program. It was kind of a shock to me that we were going to do something like this. But then when you told me to write down a list of songs that we were going to do, my thought process is kicked in, and every song has a story behind it.
Excellent.
And I was able to do it quite rapidly. They came quick of the stories behind the songs.
So before we get into the first one, tell me a little bit about when you kind of got into, you've got how many CDs now?
Six
CDs. So kind of where'd that start?
Well, it actually started in 1994. My mother died in 92, and she'd always wanted me to put some music on tape or cassettes or CDs, because when I was a young boy growing up, my mother played piano by ear. I'd come in after school, and she played all kinds of music, but she loved the spiritual songs. She loved hymns. She loved any kind of music, but Christian music she loved. So we would sing a lot of songs in the afternoon after school. She begged me to learn to play the piano, but I wanted to play football. So I lost that gift of the piano, which would have been a great enhancement to anybody's ministry.
Oh, yeah.
So if they're listening today and your mother is begging you to take some musical instrument up, take it up and play it.
Got a good friend that took that pretty serious. I took about 2 years of piano, and I can't play chopsticks very well.
Well, I took one lesson with a fiddle from Mrs. McQuay, and Braxton Angeli was the other student. I took one lesson and quit that afternoon. Braxton has become quite proficient at fiddle playing.
And Braxton's eight, seven, or eight.
So, and, well, I was maybe older. I was 70 when I started my lessons. And I figured if I couldn't master it in one lesson, I wasn't going to spend very much time. So I quit.
Oh, man. Well, before we get too far in here, we want to do a song. So this first song we're going to listen to is Glory Road. Tell me a little bit about the story on this.
There was a man here who had a very serious illness by the name of Bill Blake back in the early 90s. And I'd gotten this song from, I forget who had given me the track. But anyway, I sang it one Sunday morning at church, and it just overwhelmed him because he knew he had about 6 months to live. And so he requested, he came 5 of those months, and he requested every Sunday morning that I sing that song. And I did, every Sunday morning, and it was a blessing to him. I was with him when he passed away, and he was trying to get me to sing it one more time a cappella. I couldn't do it. But anyway, that's where this story came from. I sang it a lot in 5 months.
Okay, we're going to listen to Glory Road with Joe Jernigan. We'll be back in just a few minutes to visit and learn a little more.
Is this road you're traveling dark, deserted, or dim? Tomorrow, put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I've stumbled on my way, but praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving for that land of a perfect peace and endless day. Now I can see the lights of a home. I can see God on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. This road for glory land. Now I can see the lights of a home.
Lights of home.
I can see God on His throne. I'm too near, to turn back now.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM. I've got my very dear friend Joe Jernigan in the studio with me. Brother Joe, as we call him, is a pastor of Calvary Christian Fellowship in Shamrock, Texas, and been a lifelong, well, not a lifelong friend, but for at least the last 27 years or so, something like that. I remember I was riding around with a friend of mine, and he took me in this little building out here at Leland. He said, "We got to stop by and see Brother Joe." And we wheeled in there, and you were working on a project you had going in the basement of the old school over there,
The old church. First Baptist Church of Leland.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it later became Calvary Christian Academy. We had 24 students in 92 and 93. With the Accelerated Christian Education Program, which both of you are familiar with.
Right.
And I bought this old school. It was an egg farm. It had been owned by the Marcus family. And I bought it, and I think I acquired the Leela Baptist Church from the Simpsons. I believe they owned it. Loretta and Bud Simpson, who would be David Simpson's parents.
Okay.
I think I purchased it from them. And did a complete remodel of it to make it where we could have school in it. We didn't had a basket little basketball team, but we didn't have any goals up. So we put some duct tape on the wall, and that was the basket. And little Cecily Sodra could make three-pointers from anywhere in the building. She was about 6 or 7 years old. Her little brother Trent and my son John, every year that school started, which was 3, they got a bust in the first day. And they asked me one time, "Why, Brother Joe, did you give us a bust in the first day?" I said, "Because you just showed up. And you were going to deserve one before the week was out anyway. So we just get it over with."
That's great.
But that lasted 3 years. Then we moved to Calvary Christian Fellowship in Shamrock. And after about 2 more years, we stopped. It was hard to fund it. And really, when we were at Leela, it wasn't a joke in the community. It was kind of a laughing matter that we were a mom-and-pop operation trying to have a Christian school. But you know what we did? And you remember those days where kids, the discipline was there, the dress code was there, and they didn't have a choice of what they were going to wear. They got up in the morning and put on the uniform. And it helped in there then the corrective measures and love and correction, not punishment, it just helped because we were all in one accord of one mind, one code, and that's the way the program was set to run, and it was a good program. Anyway, it was just a good thing for us at the time.
Well, we want to listen to another song here, and then we'll come back and visit with you. This next one's called Stand By Me. Do you have a little
story? I have a little story. This was one of my mother's favorite songs, and she was a tremendous influence in my life as a Christian. I say in the first, on the liner of the first CD that I did in 1994, that my mother led me to Christ as a little boy and led me back as a broken man. So she was very instrumental in my salvation experience because she was the one person out of the whole world that I knew I could depend on. I could depend on my mom. I could talk to her about anything, and she was always there. And I knew that when I was in my darkest hours, that somewhere Dorothy Jernigan was praying for me. I knew that. And so I was with her the night she passed away. I drove her to Wheeler, and within an hour from the time I picked her up, she entered eternity and as a born-again Christian woman. But my mother left out of that Wheeler hospital, I believe, with angels escorting her into the very presence of God, and it was a powerful experience. And I've had that experience over and over, but with your mother, it's just something different.
Right.
And from her sprang a lot, and this song was one of her favorite songs.
All right, so we're going to listen to Stand By Me with Joe Jernigan. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old in my years, stand by me. And when you've brought me through all of my fears, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I've nothing left to do, oh, I know you'll see me through. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me.
Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
We're back. The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends, visiting with my good friend Joe Jernigan, just learning a little bit about him, enjoying some of the music that I've been hearing from him over the years. And I didn't quite know you had 5 CDs. I knew you had 6 CDs. How many CDs? That's
6.
A lot of CDs.
Well, it is for somebody from here. It is for me.
Like, Willie Nelson's got 7 or 8, and you've got 6. I mean, you're
well,
up there.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Bill Mack. That's something that's Bill has just been a tremendous help to us here at the station, and I know you were with him on Sirius XM for several years. And tell me a little bit about what took place there.
We lived at 1001 North Madden, which is an empty lot. Bill lived at 1010 North Madden, so he was three or four houses down on the east side. His mother and daddy ran a little mom-and-pop grocery store where the new Spinning Jennies.
Yeah.
That was just a little wooden shack with a butcher counter in the back of it where Mr. Smith cut meat. And he also later ran a truck stop out east of town, the old Bumper to Bumper, out west of town, I'm sorry. But anyway, my mother sent me down there to get some milk one day in 1948. I was 8 years old, and she sent me down to get some milk and something else. And so when I walked in the door, Bill and his brother were in a heated argument. And so that's the first occasion that I had to meet either one of them. And both of them, Cloyce too, have become lifetime friends. And from that meeting, something happened there, and I ran home. And I told my mother, don't ever send me back to that store. Both of those guys are something's wrong down there. So she never sent me back to the store, to that store. Bill went on to greater things, as you well know, from the little station out on the north part of town. And Cloyce went into ministry and has spent nearly, I think, 60 years in ministry. But they've become lifelong friends through our association, just from being from Shamrock and living that close together and having known each other. But Bill, I got on Bill's program when he was on XM through John Palmer. John is Connie Palmer's brother.
Right.
John asked me for two CDs. And so I gave him two CDs. And he said, if you'll send my daughters two sets, each a set each for both daughters, I'll send you a check. And by the way, if you'll send two extra, I'll get them to Bill Mack. And I thought, well, you know, that's okay. That's fine. So I sent him two extra. And in about a week, I'm sitting across the street down here at Lyman Benson Real Estate, and I get a phone call, and it's from Bill Mack. And he said, I want to put your music on the air. And I said, well, I'm very appreciative of that. He said, well, let me just tell you the reason that I'm going to do it is I like your music. It doesn't have anything to do with Shamrock, you and I growing up together and any of that stuff. I just like your music, and I think you have something to say in your music. And also, I want you to do a little ministry, some ministry while you're on the air, which we did from 05 until he stopped in 12. So that'd be 6-7 years that we were on. During that time, we reached untold numbers of truckers who came through here and stopped to visit with me. And still today, I still get calls when certain of them come through Shamrock, and I meet them at all of this happened at McDonald's parking lot, always at McDonald's parking lot. So that was the connection that I had with Bill. And through those years of us not being close because of Shamrock, we grew very, very close because of gospel music, his Sunday social, the grand old gospel. That he had a way of reaching out to those truckers, and they believed in him. And they were very sad when they removed him from the air. And I was very sad when they took the Sunday social off, because I felt like it was helping people.
You bet.
And we sent a lot of this music that you're going to hear today. We would send it to funerals. We would send it to families in Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, Washington. They were burying their mother or their child or their wife, and they'd call and want a song. And so I didn't know all the way to do it, but they'd burn it on a floppy disk or something. That program reached a lot of people and touched a lot of lives, not because of me alone, but because of the way Bill handled it. And he was exceptional in his social skills in relating to people. And still is today.
You bet. Yeah, that's for sure.
Still is today.
We want to listen to another song. This one I know Ray Price did. Did you know that?
I do know that. And then one of the first songs that I ever got on a cassette track soundtrack was in 1979 or 80. And He Looked Beyond My Faults by Dottie Rambo. And I went up to a Christian bookstore in Amarillo, and I think it was $8.98. And I drove up specifically to get it, practiced it all the way back to Wellington, where I was ministering some, and sang it on a Sunday morning. And then found out through Bill and others that Ray Price had recorded Danny Boy. And I love Danny Boy because of being Irish.
Right.
You know, and I thought, I wonder if I could put those two songs together and would they have a meaning for somebody? And they did. So if you listen to Ray Price's, if you read the liner on his last CD that he made, which was about a year before he died or maybe even some few months, at the bottom of it, he thanked all of his fans for all of the years. And finally, at the end of it, he said, and I want you to know I love Jesus too. And so I knew that this man had had an experience with God. And we can come early, we can come in the middle of life, or we can come late. I don't know his story, and I'm not his right. judge. But what impressed me about him, he was so original and had such a powerful voice. And I wasn't trying to copy him. I just loved the song.
Right.
And the Dottie Rambo side of it, I felt had to be with it. So that's what we did. I don't know if I could hit those notes today, but I hit them one time.
Well, let's take a listen to Danny Boy.
And He Looked Beyond My Faults.
All right. With Joe Jernigan, we'll be right back.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the leaves are falling. It's you, must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow, I'll be Danny Boy, oh Danny Boy, I love you so. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever for me. How marvelous. My faults and saw my need. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, God loves you so.
In the studio this week with Joe Jernigan, pastor of Calvary Christian Fellowship in Shamrock, just getting to visit with him, learning a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and some stuff I did know. Some of your relationship with Bill Mack that you talked about earlier is really interesting stuff, and I kind of knew a little bit of that. Bill, I might say, has been a tremendous help to us here. I think he's probably been on the Legends longer than he was on KEVA now.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But anytime we've called him and said, hey, we need something, he's always just been quick.
Such an accommodating person.
To help us out. And so I know that was one of the first time I was listening and I heard you on the satellite with him. I was like, wow, that's really neat coming from Shamrock. We've just been amazed since we really got this station up and running, all the history and the stuff we've learned that has come out of this region.
Bill was the initial first DJ that started out there, I think. But from that building out there, yeah, it launched a lot of broadcasting careers for some men that were nationally known. They were nationwide everywhere.
All right.
I don't know what all their markets were, but you knew those names. And over the years, I would hear about their success and how well they were doing.
Right.
And I always was proud that they were from this little community.
That group, and then you have the legendary Joe Jernigan.
I would stay away from that.
Well, there's probably myths and legends, maybe, I don't know, but that's another different program.
Yes.
So one thing I found interesting with you, I want to visit a little bit about this, and then we'll get into another song, but the relationship you have with this community, and part of it's been through a lot of the funeral services you've done, as well as weddings, but that's something that's really, I know, meant a lot to the community. Probably more has been the funeral side of it, which is kind of a dark thing, but, you know, for a family trying to get through stuff, I know that that means a lot to them. And talk about how...
Well, I think the best way I could get into talking about that, it would be, to be honest about it, is I had an advantage over most pastors because I knew the families. I'd grown up with the parents who had passed away or the son or daughter that the parents had lost. And they asked me, because of those relationships in the 40s, 50s, especially in the late 40s and all through the 50s, being around those families and being associated with them and being friends, real friends with them. And today we enjoy those friendships. We still talk. And that's been, I've been out of school 58 years now, and we still talk. And even further back than that, I see people that got out in the early 50s, and I knew their families. I've done some of their wives' funerals. I've done their husbands' funerals. And I knew the families. I knew the background. Somewhere in my young life, and I don't remember when it was, somewhere I know that the Spirit of God taught me to look at older people, to look at them. Not that I followed it, but he told me to observe several things about them, their character, their financial ethics, their business ethics, their relationship with their family, especially how they treated their wives. And I don't know, that just came along. So I had something to talk about. And people, when you go to a funeral service, they're all uptight. And I've always tried to tell people, I promise you I'm not here to preach at you, but to minister to you.
Right.
Because I think there's a time for evangelism, And I think there is a time at a funeral service, a graveside, or a memorial service, the focus is to comfort that family
right.
with music and with a message that brings comfort to them. But at the same time, they want to hear something good, bad, or indifferent
right.
about their loved one, because it all ain't good and it all ain't bad, and a lot of it is indifferent.
You so, know. Hey, we're going to listen to Closer to Thee. Tell me a little bit about this.
1966, I felt the call to begin to minister in Amarillo at Grace Baptist Church. And listening to the radio one day, I heard Jake Hess and the Imperials.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this goes way back when Jake had hair. And it was
well,
black.
He always had hair, but he just bought it.
Left yeah, he bought it at the end, but the other he grew. And I heard that, and so I found a LP 33 or 78, had an old record player, and I fell in love with that song, Closer to Thee, because that's what I really wanted, but I just could not get there. You know, obstinance and stubbornness runs in Irish people, but it's also a paramount characteristics in the Jernigan family. So I wouldn't listen until God, you know, he has to get you in a place where you're ready to listen. A lot of people check out on him because they think, well, he doesn't have any time for me. I'm not good enough. I can't be perfect. But that song did something for me, and it took me years to find the track. I'm talking years. It took me to find that track. And finally, Pastor Ricky Fowle in Amarillo, through his Kingdom Keys Network, found that track for me, and I was able to record this song, and I love this song.
So we're going to listen to Closer to Thee with Joe Jernigan. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Let me walk with Thee, my Savior. When the storms of night draw near,
storms draw near,
keep me in thy loving favor. Make those cloudy skies grow.
Listening to his Lyrics and Legends. In the studio with me is longtime friend Joe Jernigan, pastor at Calvary Christian Fellowship here in Shamrock. We're visiting a little about the life and the music and the legend of no, he's shaking his head. I'm just having fun with you, Brother Joe.
I know you are.
Legends can be about anything. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about your ministry, especially on the funeral side of it, and that's something that has really meant a lot to the community. And the other thing I've noticed, mainstream ministry has a tendency for people to move in and move out. You know, the advantage maybe you've had is being here since 76, you've been able to establish some relationships with people. I think that's been an important part of the community and been something that, I don't know if there's a title for that, maybe. I would think...
Well, I'll tell you a title that I long for and that I copy from the Lord Jesus Christ, his servant.
Well, that's probably
I just wanted to be a servant. That's all. That's all I ever wanted to do was come here and serve. And I know the Lord sent me here and told me what to do, and I've tried since April of 1977 is when I came back. So I've just tried to be a servant and serve people. And some of the ones that we like large churches have seen a lot of people come and go. Some have moved, some have passed on. Some personalities and my personality clashed, and that's going to happen in any human relationship.
Right.
And everybody has a preference of preachers and pastors, and that's okay as long as they get from God what he intends, what his purpose is for their life. If they want to be there, I welcome them. If they don't, I've always told them I'll help you go where you want to go and where you can get the most help. So this song, Oh What a Savior, turned my life around. And I don't really have a lot of history about it other than I think it was a... maybe the Statesman Quartet who had it out first, maybe in the 50s, I don't remember exactly, but it became for me a signature song that I love to sing anytime because it depicts where I was and what happened and where I'm going.
All right. Well, let's listen to Oh, What a Savior with Joe Jernigan. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
I was straight in sin's dark valley, no hope within me could I see. Then they searched through heaven and found me a Savior to save a poor lost wretch like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, chilling waters I'll soon be crossing, and I know that he'll lead me safely o'er, and I'll join that chorus city, and I'll sing up there forever.
listening to is Lyrics and Legends. I've got in the studio with me Joe Jernigan. We've been learning a little bit about the road, is what I call it. It's just kind of where, I mean, what got you up to where you are today. Tell me some of the influential people that have been maybe directed you, you know, your life and gotten you where you are today.
I haven't figured out where I am, except I know where I'm headed, and I know what's going to happen when I die. So, but the person who impacted my life the most in the gospel was R.L. Roberts, who had been a banker here. In fact, had left the old Farmers and Merchants Bank. He and his wife, Mary Roberts, she was as instrumental as well as he was in my life, and had built this First Bank and Trust, which is now AIM Bank. He built that, he and Mr. Roach built that building. But Brother R.L. had gotten saved in 1973 at the Assembly of God down where the Sleep Inn,
right,
that old building down there. And he knew that he was called to teach the Word of God. And he was an excellent teacher who knew how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. And I got under his ministry. Before we started Calvary Christian, I was coming from everywhere. I was here in Shamrock. I'd preach some in Wellington. But if I knew he was teaching anywhere, I went because of the sound doctrine that he put forth. It was, he studied for years. He shut himself away for 5 years one time, almost every day, and studied God's Word to the point that he was so very knowledgeable. And I was blessed to have sat under that ministry for 38 years. He mentored me. And she as well. She was equally as well a teacher as he was. But God had called him. She was employed in the school system as a teacher. But there's a difference. And God called this banker. And he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And I don't know that really in the community, and I have to say this in all honesty, I don't think that he was ever appreciated as much as he should have been, because of his knowledge. I learned things that you wouldn't have learned at a seminary. I learned things from him. But I also learned about business ethics and financial ethics. In fact, I have to tell this story. Calvary Christian Fellowship would not be there today without the gift that he and Mary Roberts gave to me to build it. It was quite a sizable gift. And we didn't have anything. We had a little old building out there we were paying $50 or $75 a month for, and he told me one Tuesday night he wanted to help build a church. And I told him I had these plans to add on two wings on that old building. He said, no, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about building a new church. And I said, well, how are we going to do that? He said, well, we're getting ready to do some financial things, and I'm going to be able to help you. So after we got the church up and things were going, I asked him one time, I said, Brother R.L., would you have tithed that money to anybody else? Now, he'd been my softball coach. Buck will remember this. He was my softball coach, along with Van Orrick, Tim Tindall, Buck Weatherby, myself, all of us at 12 and 13 years old in the old First Methodist Church. R.L. was a teacher there, just a Sunday school teacher, not like he was called later. And we had this softball team. And we'd go all over this area playing softball. Now, this is 1952 and 53. So I asked him, he knew my life. He knew my life. And I asked him one time, would you have given this much money to anybody? He said, probably not. I would have tithed it out to different ministries to help many. I said, well, then why did you give it to me? And I'll never forget his words, and they blessed me today. He said, because I saw the change, and I knew it was real. Because I knew where you'd come from. Let me tell you something. Tonight he told me that he was giving that amount of money, blew me away. Because it was a lot of money. And today it would be probably double that. So,
but that's still going on impacting.
I pray that it is still impacting people.
Oh, for sure.
I pray that it is. I need to tie this song in with the knowledge that I gained from him. I knew a lot on my own, but he enhanced my knowledge by sharing with me the depth of what Jesus Christ really paid to pardon us from our sins and to give us access to the heavenly rewards that we will enjoy for eternity. He enlarged my thinking and my hunger grew. And I wanted to know the depth of his son coming and dying as he did, and the maltreatment and how he was handled, and the false accusations and the mock trial and the judgment and all of that was for we three in this studio. And so one Sunday morning, I had left Leela in 1994, where we were living, and I came to town, and I pulled up to this old stop. We had a light here, and it was May the 10th of 1994, and I pulled up there, and these words came to me at that stop, between that stoplight and Calvary Christian Fellowship. The words to this song came to me, and when I got there, I did not forget them. I wrote it down verbatim. It came back to my memory. I know the Lord did that. And then I asked his wife, Mary Roberts, could she and I get together and write the music for it? I had the lyrics, but I needed the music. And she wrote the music. So it's copyrighted for Mary and I both.
All right.
We haven't sold 1 million copies. I don't think we've sold very many copies. We've given a lot of them away. But it has a special meaning to me because of R.L.
Let's listen to Pierced Hands, written by Joe Jernigan.
And Mary Roberts.
And Mary Roberts, yeah. And then we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Lifted out of the terrible darkness, the light of the cross shines on me. No longer ensnared in death's bondage, he saved me, thank God I am free. Pierced hands, a divine sacrifice just for me. I was one who was banished unpardoned. Pierced hands and God's love rescued me. There was no human cure for my sickness. Helpless, I heard of thee. With arms outstretched, ever reaching, he touched me, thank God I am healed. Pierced hands, pierced hands, a divine sacrifice just for me. I was one who was banished unpardoned. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me. So forever I'll sing of his mercy, of the love and the grace found in thee. I'll sing the song of endless ages. My Redeemer, he liveth for me. Pierced hands, a divine sacrifice just for me. I was one who was banished unpardoned. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me. Oh, pierced hands, pierced hands, a divine sacrifice just for me. I was one who was banished unpardoned. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me. Pierced hands, and God's love rescued me.
All right, we're back in the studio. Lyrics and Legends is a program we're visiting with my friend Joe Jernigan. Joe, it's been a real pleasure visiting with you today, and we want to wrap it up with this final song, which is one of my favorites because I've heard you sing it on more than one occasion, and I think just the personal touch that you add on this, really brings one of the most vivid images of heaven into my mind that that I think I can grasp. Why don't you talk a little bit about It's True, and then we'll play it.
I don't even remember where I heard it first. I don't even remember, except through the young man that recorded it in Oklahoma for me, that in his studio. Somehow we got the track to it. I found out the story, and I've told it many times, and I used my own family in the beginning, but the more I did it, the more I tried to work other family scenes into it for their benefit because of the comforting of the family. But it tells the story of a father who's dying, and his son is standing there, and the father tells him as he's leaving, it's true, everything I've told you, it's true, because I can see it, I can hear it. And then the son begins to kind of in a vision think about the time when he's going to be translated out of this life, through death actually. And so he remembers what his daddy said, and he is telling his family that what I heard my daddy say about it's true, I want you to know that heaven is real, it is true, I can see the face of Jesus coming for me now. And it just has an impact of touching people and comforting people. And it's a thrill to do it. I hope my voice holds out where I can sing it up until the day I leave this earth, because of it's the touch that God put on that song from those songwriters. And I don't even know who wrote the song, but they had a glimpse into eternity. And so I honestly believe that this has impacted. We talked earlier about sending songs around to funeral services in the nation, different states. This was the main one that they would always request. And I didn't have an opportunity to put their family member's name in it, so I just used my own personal story. And they would call me after the service and tell me how it had impacted their family. That is such a blessing, to know that you've touched somebody that you've never seen. A family in a state, maybe a 100-member family you've never seen, but a song you did. How do I know? I won't know till I get to heaven. You won't know the lives we've impacted, because they're eternally recorded. We know here some, and we've lost some. Some have left us. Some are not with us anymore, not through death, but just didn't. Our personalities didn't work out. We lose people. They go this way. They go that way. But only eternity knows who we impacted. So we shouldn't worry about crowns here. We should be concerned about what motivated us to do what we did, because the book's going to be open there at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to find out about ourselves, because he's going to read the book.
Right.
And when he calls Gary Ware by yourself and Joe Jernigan by himself, we won't have a cheerleading section up there telling how great we were. They'll be singing is how great thou art.
Yeah, there you go.
And so this song is special to me. And I just pray, in closing out what you've asked me to do today, that it impacts lives still today.
We're going to listen to It's True with Joe Jernigan. We'll be back to wrap this up in just a few minutes.
I stood beside the bed of a dying dear old friend, and we talked about what Jesus said, how someday we'd live again. He held his Bible to his chest as he slowly slipped away. But just before his final breath, I heard my daddy say, it's true.
It's true,
I can hear the angels singing, it's true.
It's true,
heaven's bells are ringing, I can see the face of my Jesus, he's coming for me, it's true.
It's true.
are loved ones over there waiting. It's so true. Things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side for you. It's true. I know that there will come a time when death will call for me. They'll lay my body in the ground, but that's not where I'll be. When I face the fears and doubts of just what lies ahead, I'll remember the last two words that my daddy said. Oh, it's true. I can hear the angels singing. It's true. Heaven's bells are ringing. I can see the face of my Jesus. He's coming for me. It's true. There are loved ones over there waiting. It's true. Things of earth are fading. I'll be waiting on the other side. Well, there's, my goodness, there's Deanna and John and Joanna and Jessica and even old Joey's there. And Brooke and Ian and Alyssa and Hayden and Bailey. And my God, all of those that I made promise to me a long, long time ago. Daddy, I'll meet you in heaven. You better, because it's true. It's really true.
Well, the program this week's Lyrics and Legends, we're visiting with Joe Jernigan. Brother Joe, we want to thank you for taking time to come up here and visit with us. We just want you to know how much you mean to us, and we wouldn't consider having this program without having you on it, because you're part of this region, you're part of the history of what's taking place here in Shamrock, and part of what's going to be coming up, I'm sure, in the future. And so we're glad you took time to come over here.
Excited that you asked me. I appreciate it very much. And I'm going to leave you this little Bible to stay in this radio station so that in case you have need of a scriptural reference, you have a New Testament and the Proverbs that was presented to me that I'm now giving to you. I hope it stays here. You guys will use it and enjoy it as I have. It is the Word of God. So I give you this and thank the both of you. God bless you.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. Be sure and tune in next time to Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM.
This has been another edition of
Lyrics and Legends
with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.